It's really great to be home and recognize that we have a little bit of the sunshine here in our valley. We take a little bit of joy. We took a vacation, and when I shared with somebody that Sabbath we were going to share some things from our vacation, they said, "Oh, captive home movies." So I promise not to show you any of the pictures that Jalen did of some of our kids trying hula for the first time. You won't get any of those. But I did want to share a little bit about experience. And when I ask about others if what they thought about sharing this week, they said, you know, you could share what you had planned to preach on Sabbath, or you could share what's on your heart. And I said, you know, really on my heart, I'd like to share some of the things that I learned from my trip. So let's pray together before we begin. Lord, I just ask that you take the experience that you've given us and help us to look at the spiritual application. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. And for some reason, there we go, my computer's fallen asleep. And I'm not sure why that is. I sat across from my family, looked out the little porthole window, adjusted the earphones, and could see through the porthole window how the sky and the waters kind of met around the horizon line, that same aqua blue color. And I recognized immediately, it's true. We're actually on a trip to Hawaii. I adjusted the aloha music in the headset and started sitting back. I said, I can't believe it's true. Amazing. And it wasn't for a mission trip. It was just for fun. Although I imagine after talking to them, they would be happy for missions to Hawaii. And some of you would be happy to be on one of those mission trips, wouldn't you? How many of you have already been to Hawaii? Oh, look, most of you. How many of you would like to go to Hawaii? Yes. When we look at, this was our first opportunity to go, and we looked at it and thought it is a little bit of experience. And what I wanted to share with you is in our pursuing an earthly paradise and the journey toward our earthly paradise, about the journey toward the heavenly paradise that we're all looking forward to. And so I wanted to talk about the desire of paradise on earth. Paradise, if you would look it up in the dictionary, it defines paradise as the Garden of Eden, a place of ideal beauty or loveliness, the state of delight. Now, some of you may have different views of paradise in your mind. For you, paradise may not be going to the islands at all. We all have different views. For Pooh, it was the pursuit of honey would be the ultimate delight. And for Rabbit, it would be working in his garden. For some of us, we would rather be in the hammock enjoying the breeze that goes by, and others, we'd be out there surfing. For some, the ultimate delight, like Grace Amore, would be doing a flower arrangement. And I don't know if you know, but Dina Wintermeyer is a scuba diver. For some, the ultimate delight would be hiking in the mountains. That's where I put your little picture up there with Mike. Or for others, it may be riding. And Jalen and Phil, I think, would enjoy that as a ultimate delight. Paradise for Janelle may be sewing and putting something together that way. And for Gary, being the fisherman that he is, it may just be a time out in his boat. For Chad, it might be biking, and if you're looking for Rob, it might be painting picture, or for Ray, the same thing. Tim might enjoy writing a song that would express his heart, and if you haven't heard any of Tim's music, you find it's a blessing, and it might be a hymn played on the organ for Betty and the process that she's doing in praising God there. And for Jerry, it would just be a long, long story told excellently. And we'd enjoy it too, Jerry. For some of us, paradise might be different, and we look at it from different ways than we have. But in my heart of hearts, I know that as I analyze what it's like for me, and you know, sometimes we come into our own just by recognizing it. Someone would suddenly say, you know, this is something I love. I look back and I say, you know what? I've always been, and just hadn't recognized it, an albino island boy. It's the reality. I like all the things of the islands. I like casual clothes. And don't worry, this will be the last Sabbath I wear. But I like the casual clothes. I wanted to put flip-flops on, and my wife wouldn't let me for Sabbath today. But we wore them on the islands. It's wonderful. I like the bright colors. I love the warmth of the sunshine. I love the warmth of the people. If you're there, they're open and friendly and sharing. And I love the attitude that's there. And I stopped and say, you know, there's something about it. Why didn't I pursue it sooner? For me, the first time I was in the islands was when I reached about the age of 30. And we went on a mission trip. And I fell in love there with snorkeling and the beauty of the ocean. I said, I've got to go back. We actually had wanted to go to Hawaii earlier. Why hadn't I pursued it sooner? It had been a dream. It had always been something I wanted to do. Why hadn't I pursued it sooner? Maybe sometimes we don't pursue our dream and don't pursue paradise because we're afraid that it never really will happen, that we'll never be able to achieve it. We'll never be able to get there. And we talk back and forth and we kind of pretend that it's going to happen, but we know in our heart of hearts it never will. You know how those dreams go in families? Haven't you talked about things that, you know, in our house we talk about, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a two-story Victorian house that we could remodel? It's not going to happen in our lifetime. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could go and preach revival series across the world and use that as ministry? It's not going to happen. Reality is, it's not going to take place. And we dream of some of those things. Shelley dreams of decorating for people who have endless budget and can decorate however they want to. And we have those dreams and we talk about them. But in the quietness, if you ask us seriously, we know they're just dreams, that they're ideas, that they're we wish we coulds, and never what we really expect to have happen. Some of us don't pursue heaven because in reality, we never expect that we're going to get there. We don't think that it's ever going to happen for us. We think it's a nice dream and something fun to talk about, but we aren't expecting to live there. We don't really believe we will. Maybe some of us don't pursue the dream is because we're afraid of criticism. Actually, in 1982, Shelley and I had put tickets on reserve to go to Hawaii. We were in a church then in Boise, and we decided we were going to take this wonderful time together and go on a trip. But as we started thinking about it, we were afraid of what other people might think. You know, I was a youth pastor then, and going as a youth pastor to a trip to Hawaii, we were afraid that many people in our congregation hadn't gone, and they would look at us and feel like we were extravagant and that maybe we weren't using God's money well. And so we made a decision then that we wouldn't do that. Instead, we took the same money that we'd set aside for Hawaii, canceled our trip, and invited some friends to come for Christmas, and then flew to be at Christmas with our family. We promised ourselves then, though, that we would take a trip to Hawaii on our 25th. It was sort of those things that you project into the future. You know that this year is our 25th wedding anniversary. It's one of those things you project ahead, and you don't think it's ever going to quite get there, but it is. And so when the tickets were there and came on sale, the same price as they were in 1982, we figured God was maybe telling us something. And we went ahead and did it. And I want to praise the Lord for those who are encouragers. It makes a statement in a little article that I read that God always has His angels that whisper to the grass, each blade telling it to grow. There's always the encouragers that say, this is what you were meant to do. And provide the wind beneath your wings to raise you up to do what you were called to do. Praise God for those who are encouragers. Don't you wish that you were in that position to encourage others on their walk and their journey, spiritually, all the more? Why hadn't we pursued it before? Because even though it's a budget trip, it wasn't in the budget. Is it ever that way for you? And quite honestly, as we look at our funds, there's never going to be a time that we have extra money. There's always something to use it for, isn't it true? When you start examining the cost, you start to say, you know, you do what you really set as priorities to do with your money. Isn't it true? You decide what it is that you're going to do and how to use it to fulfill your dream. And people's dreams are different. And people use their money differently. For some, their greatest dream is to sit home and watch videos, and they spend their money there. For others, if you would save the same amount of money long enough, you could probably go to Hawaii on video money. Or you could just stay home and rent one more video that happens to have a travelogue of Hawaii and say, hey, it's been great. It's all on how we decide to do it sometimes, isn't it? On how we decide to use what God's given us. The cost is when you count something to be such a priority. I don't know if you knew, probably many of you attended the concert. There's a price we pay for the prize we choose, isn't there? Hawaii did cost, and there were things we had to say no to in order to go to Hawaii. One of the things, though, that on that journey that I recognized is we had already purchased non-refundable tickets. And when we purchased those tickets, we did all that we could to clear the schedule. And then along the way, we found that Jalynn had a concert a day after we were already in Hawaii, supposed to be in Hawaii. And it was turmoil in our household for a short while as we were trying to sort through how to do this in a win-win sort of way. The price we pay for the prize is worth it when we count the price to be of that great value. Jalynn prized not letting her friends down, not letting her teachers down, carrying through on her responsibilities for commitment. And so she stayed 2 days here and flew out later and helped pay for the ticket the one way from here to there that would cause her to be able to rejoin us. It's what you prize, isn't it? And we prized being able to say we want to help support our daughter and taking her responsibility seriously and carrying out her work and commitments. There's a saying that says, she who loves roses must be patient and not cry out when she's pierced by the thorns. For the love, there is a price that you pay. And that was true with salvation. When you look at salvation, there is a price to pay. Luke 14, 26 through 33 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother and father and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming after him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. What it's saying is, if we're pursuing that eternal paradise, there's a price to pay. And some of those costs are everyday costs that we pay here, aren't they? Aren't they? And they're worth the price. We'll be able to look and say, heaven was cheap enough for the experience that we gained in pursuing paradise. The cost was nothing compared to what we got in value on the trip. I asked myself why I hadn't pursued it earlier. It says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value. The surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. There's some things worth everything that we have to pursue. Sometimes we don't pursue because we don't recognize that the cost is worth it. The preview of paradise we had was a little bit of heaven. We did take that trip on the plane, and it was a long trip there, and we could hardly wait to arrive. And when we did, we got to Waikiki. But quite honestly, for us, We didn't want to just go to a big city with palm trees and say we'd been to Hawaii. We wanted to look and see what old Hawaii might be like. And part of that's probably my own picture of the natives and the islands and that whole picture in my mind. When we looked at where we wanted to be, we went 45 minutes out of Waikiki on the west side of the island where there weren't a lot of people. We took the journey, and as we left, you could see the high rises giving way to palm trees and the big houses and concretes to little shacks and make-do housing. We arrived at the house that I'd spent hours looking on the internet for. This is a picture of it from the ocean view. And when you got close, what the family had done is they had taken their house and built right above it another house that they lived in and rented out what used to be their house downstairs. It was beautiful with bay windows across the front, and the side had a beautiful sunroom. And so as you looked across, this was the view from the front of our house. And between us and the sea was just a little park. And we said we've kind of touched paradise. There's a lot of beautiful things there that cause you to want to be in paradise, aren't there? You look around, and that was a picture from our front yard that Jalen took right there. When we looked at looking at paradise, we say there's a lot of things there that give us a taste of heaven, a taste of what God would like. There's botanical gardens and beautiful things in nature that are there. Description are almost otherworldly, some of the plants that you see. There's a lot around nature that tells us about God. It's said that Revelation is a book that opens to us God. It gives us an understanding of who He is. There's a variety of nature from the islands. You see the mountains and the ocean all right there. If you were to tour underwater, it's as if a heavenly world itself with all the beautiful sea creatures that are there. Romans 1:20 says it this way: "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that without excuse." You know, if we didn't have the Bible, we looked around, there's evidence of God in nature. On our way back, we were driving over the mountains, and he said, I suppose there's some people in Hawaii who would like to come and vacation here in our area. It's so beautiful, and there's so many things here that we take for granted. But after being there, we can say, we can see the green here. We're so close to the ocean. We can go to the lakes and the mountains. We have a testimony of God right around us, don't we? We recognize that there is a little taste of paradise here. I have to tell you, quite honestly, if heaven were only what we saw there, I could live eternally with the beauty that was there. Nothing more than that beauty. And yet God has promised us so much more, hasn't He? But if it were only to see and witness that beauty and watch, I don't think it would ever grow old. Sometimes we look at paradise, and I think the taste of paradise we had was just to pull away from the rush, to just spend time with each other. We don't recognize oftentimes the paradise that we have spending time together. The world is so fast-paced, it's amazing that we could miss living in paradise. We saw people there all the time. It seemed to have no understand that they were living in a paradise. Aren't there aspects of God's, an encounter with God that we have here with our families? We loved the pre-taste of heaven, the heavenly paradise, with the aloha attitude. In the Polynesian Cultural Center, they told us the history of the word aloha. Every place you went, aloha. The greeting that they gave you when you left, they would say aloha. They called Friday aloha Friday. And it was just like everything was aloha. And in the cultural center, they said that, you know, aloha means I give you my breath. And then what they were saying is, with my life, I want to serve you. What an incredible concept. With my life, I want to serve you. With my life, I want to serve you. I give you my breath. That is a picture of paradise to me. In a place together where people saying, in a community, I want to give you my breath to serve you. Isn't that the church? Isn't that the community? Wouldn't this be a heaven on earth here in our valley if we could just have the aloha attitude, with my breath, I give to serve you. Whatever's there, aloha. I was impressed with that. Jalyn said, as we were in the Polynesian Cultural Center, everybody seems happy here. Everybody's smiling. Everybody seems to have an inner sense of joy. Do you? Couldn't we have a paradise here to have that inner sense of joy? With all of that said, I have to tell you that I've just given you a filtered picture of Hawaii. And some of you, most of you are there, if you think about it, it's not exactly all that you'd like it to be. There's still trouble in paradise here on this earth, isn't there? For us, when we started, we wanted to rush right out, but the rental car center, it seemed like we were there forever waiting in line. Contract after another, filling in all the details, waiting for our place. And the lady at the center didn't seem to be very friendly. She was just troubled with tourists and wanted to get us out of the way. And aloha was no more than a friendly thank you for shopping at Kmart, push out of the way and shoving you on your way. And so we said, there are some flights. And if you got in Waikiki and you were there, or Shelley tried to read the map to me and I'm frustrated in traffic trying to find a way, you say, this isn't really the great vacation that you think it is. The traffic in Waikiki getting out to our little paradise. And we got to our place and it was a wonderful place, but it wasn't like it was presented. We were supposed to be able to travel all around the island, but you see, at the end of the island when we got there, we found the roads don't go all the way around the island on the west side. And then they told us it's because that the Americans have taken that section for their base. And then they start telling us how the Americans had mistreated them. And if you went to their cultural center, you could understand, because Americans had mistreated them. Gone and taken their people, the native people, out of the position of being ruling their own island and set in Americans. And you start looking and saying, there's a bit of prejudice against Hallies built in here. And you say that it's not all that is pretended to be, because there's still a little trouble in paradise. There's still tensions and prejudice and hurt. And when you go to Taco Bell, it costs twice as much for your burritos. Literally so. All of their food was like that. And it was wonderful food and you enjoyed it, but you paid for it through the nose. And our wonderful little paradise, this is a close-up. When you came to the gate, there were locks on the gate, a padlock, and security system on the house for a reason. When we took our hike into the great outdoors, and we loved it for the first 10 minutes until the mosquitoes just literally ate us alive, before we could get back, little welts all along the back of the legs from mosquito bites. We abandoned our hike into the natural wilderness because somehow we had believed there were no mosquitoes in paradise. Somebody had told us that mosquitoes didn't make it all the way over to Hawaii. When we were in the Polynesian Cultural Center, Shalyn said, this has really been fun, but it sort of seems like, and she searched for a word, she said, it sort of seems like Hollywood Hawaii, like a plastic version, sanitized, cleaned up, not real. It's what we'd like it to be, what we pretend that it is, what we wish it were. There's trouble in paradise because of things that are there in the outside circumstances, but also sometimes because the fact that we bring a little bit of ourselves to paradise. On earth, when we go there, we're still us. With all of our humanity. I would label this picture ignorance tax. Let me explain. When we were there, we had a great time and we've gone snorkeling and I found this super thing to do. Since we had to take our keys with us to the rental car, we drove down to the second most popular beach in Hawaii and we drove there in Waimea Bay, and as we were there, we decided that the only way to be safe is to lock our stuff in the car and to take the keys and put them in plastic. I put them in one Ziploc bag and then put that in another double Ziploc bag and that in another Ziploc bag. Velcroed them in my swimming trunks. We swam that way a couple times, no problem. The surf, though, on the way back, we got up and we were very tired from the wonderful snorkeling that we had. Very tired. We were making our way up and I reached in. Ignorant tax had been taken. Keys out in the ocean somewhere. And we couldn't believe it. We called and found that the rental company would help us for $360 to get our keys back. And after about an hour and a half waiting there, sunburnt, as the person came to give us to make the key, they made the key and went to stick it in and said, "Oh, somebody has punched your lock." And they had punched the lock, opened up and taken all of our credit cards and checkbook and money. You know, there's trouble in paradise. Because there's still sin here. And even though we like it to be, and we picture it being differently, the truth is, as long as we're on this earth and pursuing, it's not like Gilligan's Island. And that's sort of how I picture it in my mind, isn't it? You kind of clean it up and make it to be the paradise of earth, and then we pursue it as if it were the real paradise, those earthly things that we seek after. It's amazing. It's amazing that we do seek after so many things here on this earth thinking that that's going to be paradise. It may be that better job that you think once I get it, it's going to bring happiness inside. It may be that ideal vacation, or it may be for you that perfect person in relationship that you're looking for. It may be waiting till the kids get out of the house so you can finally experience peace, or it may be having children so you can finally experience the joy. But quite honestly, paradise won't happen until this earth is remade. And when we pursue the earthly paradise, we have to recognize there's trouble in paradise because quite honestly, sin has entered. And Satan has left a tainted mark on paradise. It's paradise lost, and that's what we're pursuing. It's what God intended this to be, but what it isn't currently. Even in its best earthly state, no matter where you go on this earth, you won't find paradise. Because no matter how hard you search, there's still the mark of a serpent, a usurper on this earth. Utopia actually comes from two Greek words translated no place. When we look on this earth for the perfect utopia, it just doesn't exist. But there is a paradise promised. It's not here now, but it will be here ultimately. It's sort of like, for me, the trip to Hawaii was like the taste tester chocolates at Harry and David's. Not enough to satisfy, but enough to cause you to want something more. It's like that trailer movie that comes, that gives you the highlights and makes you want to see the whole thing. It's enough to cause me to say, I want to be there. But this isn't the real thing. Luke 14. It looks like I missed the text there. It says, Jesus was saying, verse 42, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, thief on a cross, who'd been through the experience of searching for paradise, hadn't he? He'd done things the earthly way to try to build a paradise. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, you shall be with me in paradise. He tells them, I give you the assurance that there will be a paradise, that you can be with me. There's a hope for something in the future. All the things that we grasp at now are just a reflection of what will be. Revelation 2, verse 7 offers this hope to God's people. He who has an ear, let him hear. What the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. A shucka shucka time is sometimes saying, I'll put it off until tomorrow. We're not in a big rush. But there are some things we need to be in a rush for. That is to secure our trip. To secure our reservation. To get in on it while it's still good. We need to secure our trip to that land. I look for a new heaven and a new earth in which there will be paradise. God has made a lot of promises about that land. If you look at its description, its beauty will rival all that's here, for there'll be no mark of sin. I'm not tired of snorkeling. I think that when I look at heaven, I'm going to ask God if I can take a dip in the sea of glass and just look at what's around. And I love the taste of what we had over there, some incredible fruit, and the pineapples were ripe, and the bananas, not like you get here. But I'm looking more forward to eating from the tree of life and the fruit that's there that God's promised. It's for the healing of the nations and won't cost me anything. I step back and say, there's joys here on this earth. There are things that I like. We loved being in that house where everything was open. I get claustrophobic very badly in a small little room. And so I love the openness. It's not accident, I think, that God promised that the new Jerusalem is walled with glass. Well, he says it like this, with gold as clear as glass. Maybe God knew I'd get claustrophobic there. So they wanted it to be opened up so I could see all the beauties of nature all around me. And you too. And as far as the people, oh, the beauty of everything around us in nature, but the people, true aloha people, where the true spirit of aloha reigns, where we give ourselves, where love is the real nature of our people. Everyone who's there are willing to give themselves for someone else, for their happiness and their pleasure and their joy and their purpose in life. Their purpose in existence is to serve that others can find joy. Isn't that heaven? And we experience a taste of it here with God wanting to be with us and spend the time with us. First 2 days in paradise for us weren't the same. Jalen wasn't with us. And everything we did was just not quite the same because we weren't all together as a family yet. I don't think heaven will be quite what it needs to be if you're not there. There'll be a space in paradise, a sense of what could be to make it even better would be your presence. And the paradise of God, it's in the presence of God. And all these joys and great things come from His presence like a river flowing out that brings streams of life and healing for the nations. It was fun to take a little trip. But there'll be a day when we take a great trip to the paradise of God. We're preparing today for that journey. And that's the journey we want to take together. Can't you see the splendor streaming from the gates afar? Soon we're going to enter nevermore to roam. Not looking for a paradise here, but finding the eternal paradise. For we were meant to be. And quite honestly, we were prepared for heaven, and we're never going to be happy till we get there. I'd like to sing our closing song together. Let's stand together as we sing We're Nearing Home.
Just over the mountains in the promised land, like the holy city built by God's own hand. As our weary footsteps gain the mountain's crest, we can view our homeland of eternal rest. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. See the splendor streaming from the gates above. See the glory streaming from the gates ajar. There we soon will enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing. That wondrous city with its streets of gold. With its wondrous city with its gorgeous fair. We are nearing home. We are nearing. The glory streaming through the gates ajar. There we soon will enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home. Those who enter that city are the faithful. God's commandments faith of Jesus too. There will lift our voices through the endless days, in sweet songs of gladness and in songs of praise. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. See the splendor gleaming from the domes afar. See the glory streaming through the gates afar. There we soon will enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home. Brother, my sister, we will meet us there. In that land of sunshine, will there be no care? Accept God's message and to Him be true. Then with Jesus coming, He will come for you. We are nearing home. We are near. the splendor streaming from the domes afar. See the glory streaming from the gates ajar. There we soon will enter nevermore to Rome. Hear the angels singing, we are nearing home. We are nearing home.
Let's pray. Mighty God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that even on this earth we can see a glimpse of paradise. Help us, Lord, to remember that paradise isn't here. Even with the glorious beauty that earth holds, even with the touch that we find from your hand in the lives of others, we wait, Lord, for you to come to restore this earth and to give us the Garden of Eden again, that we can live in harmony with you and experience the joys of heaven forever. In Christ's name, amen.